To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop. Pop.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe!
Arirang is officially out and we have not been able to stop listening to this album. It's been nonstop every waking moment that we have. We can't put it down. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to review it with you all in this episode and in the next one. And we just want to start by sharing a little bit of our listening story, how we experienced it for the first time, and our initial thoughts. So luckily, the album came out during my spring break from work, so I traveled to Kansas City to be with Bethany so that way we could listen to it together in person, and it came out at 11 p.m. our time here in Central Time. So we watched the Swim music video 3 times in a row and obsessed with it immediately. And
immediately fell in love with it.
Yes, just could not get enough, and we were like, we got to move on to the album. So then we listened to the album 2 times through, just sitting there in your living room. I wish we would have recorded our reactions because it was like no other BTS album listening experience, I think, that we've had before.
Yeah.
The songs shook us. They were throwing us all over the place. They were taking us on all these different journeys. BTS were not lying when they were talking about that it really covers every single genre and that it's like nothing they've ever done before. Like, they were not, you know, understating that at all.
Yeah. When number 29 came on, we truthfully had to take a couple deep breaths because we were like, whoa.
We were grateful.
We just got hit so hard with all this fantastic music, but also like trying to comprehend what we had just heard with our ears. We're like, wait a second. Okay.
So much to process, especially at like 11:30 p.m. But it was amazing. And finally, we were like, okay, we have to go to bed because we were getting up early the next morning to go to Target to get in line to get our ARMY bombs and to buy any album and any vinyl that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And so we got up at like 6 a.m., got to Target like 6:40. There was a line and we were like, oh my God, this is a lot of people. Luckily, like half of the line was for a Pokemon trading card game. But there was a good amount of ARMY there too, because when we got back there in that aisle, I feel like it was swarmed with us. And our store had maybe 20 ARMY bombs and we were standing there for like 10 minutes just like chit-chatting, picking out what we wanted. And within that time, they were all sold out.
They were gone.
Yeah.
Like first like 15 minutes.
Yeah. So
I would say.
Seriously, first 15 minutes of the store being opening. Like, thank goodness that we were there at that time.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny standing in line because Kayla, you turned to me and you're like, I mean, I just... Not to judge the demographic, but I feel like there's a lot of dudes in this line right now. Like, I don't know who, like, what this is about. So you just like turn to the guys behind us and you're like, hey, what are you all here for? And they're like, oh, yeah, these Pokemon trading cards. You're like, ah, OK, makes sense.
And they were like, what are you here for? And we were like, BTS. And they're like, they were basically like, thank God, because then they started to clock that, OK, half the people in this line are not here competing with us. It's just funny that there were those two drops at the same time. But it was really fun. We went to Target with Britt, your older sister, met up with us, who is one of the people going to Tampa to see the concert with us. Her and Caroline are both coming. So that was really fun. Just all of us going and we all picked out different vinyls that we wanted and we each got like different albums. And
we ran into a fellow ARMY who's also going to Tampa.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. I walked so fast back to the back of that Target. I collected.
I had
like,
to jog ARMY bombs. To keep up with you. It was wild.
I was like full BTS ARMY mode.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, I'm a nightmare to be at a concert. Like, I'm like, we gotta be there so early. I turn into a different person. Like, my anxiety comes out in the worst way.
No, but like, I appreciate it so much because I think of myself, like, I'm definitely a very punctual person. But even like before going to Target, like the night before, I was like, you know, like, we're in Lee's Summit. Like, is there really going to be a line? Like, can we just get there at 7 or do we have to get there early? And you were like, no, I think we need to be there early. And like, thank God, because otherwise...
I was like, there will be a line.
Yeah.
There will be a line.
You were so right. And I was like, when we were walking out, we were just commenting on that. I was like, Bethany, thank goodness for your anxiety about this. And you were like, this is going to be me on concert day. We're going to be on the schedule. Like...
Yeah.
So it was just it was
so much fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah. Leaving for Target in the morning was one of my like favorite core memories of just like experiencing this album and BTS come back together, because it's like the sun is not even up yet. We are both sleep deprived. We're getting into my garage. Like, the light is like stinging my eyes because I'm so tired. And I look over at you and I'm like, man, yeah, like, this is BTS sleep deprivation. This is BTS comeback. Like, I haven't felt this in a long, long time, and it felt good.
Yeah.
And it's just become a core memory for me. Like, when I think back on our experience listening to Audiodong, like, I'm just going to picture that moment of, like, driving our asses to Target at 6 a.m.
And then you put on Hooligan, and we were like, let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, I just love that moment so much. Another thing that we did later on in the day is we went on a hike and it was beautiful weather, sunny, not too hot. And we just listened to the album on the hike. That was really fun. That's like a core memory for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then later that evening, my sister ended up having a Korean food night and like a little listening party. So we got the whole group together who's going to be going to Tampa. So Caroline, Brittany, Kayla and I all got to listen and talk about the album together. And it was just fun getting to like share our different opinions, what songs we were really vibing with, our thoughts of just, you know, the album together. And it's just so fun that we're all going to be going to the concert together. And then after that, the next morning, we went back over to my sister's. And when we went over to my sister's that morning, Caroline had made a bunch of like really nice food for breakfast. And I unfortunately had to work that day. And I was really, really bummed because I had to leave at like 6:45. It started at 6 Central Time, and then 6:45 a.m. I had to start going to work. And thankfully, it was only an hour long, so I really got to experience most of the concert.
Yeah.
But whoa, was that just phenomenal, getting to watch all of these performances for their comeback stage.
Literally, and they did so well. We'll touch a little bit on the performances just as we go through some of the songs, just what stood out to us and what we loved. But it was really lucky for you because you ended up only missing Dynamite and Microcosmos, which was beautiful, but you know, you didn't miss any of like the new music there. So
yeah, I ended on lucky. Swim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I kept telling you, I was like, I hope I at least get to see Swim. Like, I just want to see Swim. Yeah.
Amazing. So that was like our whole weekend together experiencing the album. And we just, like I said at the beginning of this, we haven't stopped listening to it since then. We can't stop. So we're very excited to begin reviewing it with you all here today.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you need something quick and convenient like my family does, my ultimate high-protein dinner hack is grabbing pre-marinated steak tips and making them extra crispy and charred in the air fryer while the inside stays juicy and medium rare. I can't say enough about the convenience of Omaha Steaks. Thanks to them, I always have the highest quality proteins on hand. Enjoy exceptional flavor in the convenience of Omaha Steaks during your spring savings event. Omaha Steaks is your weeknight win. And right now, you can get the world's best everyday protein during their spring savings event. Go to omahasteaks.com for an extra $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to shop their spring savings event and use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and if you are new to our album reviews, we go through each song, song by song, and we talk about the producers, the writers, we talk about the general production, vibe, genre of the song, and then we get into the lyrical meaning, and yeah, just kind of share our thoughts and what we like about the songs, what maybe we think could be better about the songs, but to be fully honest, like, we love this song, this album from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, truthfully, we really, I know there's like some controversial opinions out there, like different opinions from different armies, but like Kayla and I are both just really obsessed and in love, like truly not lying when we say we have this album on repeat constantly. Brittany's like, you guys already know all the lyrics of this song? Like, what are you, or these songs? Like, how do you know this? We're like, every waking moment we're listening to it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We are so enthusiastic to be able to share just our thoughts and feelings about each of these songs. We just want to say first, thank you, Iconic, so, so much for being here and for coming to us for your Arirang content. We really love doing album reviews and we love putting out these analysis of BTS's work that we appreciate so much. So we appreciate you guys being here for the listen and alongside of us. If you want to support us for all of this work, then you could join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes, thank you for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening.
So let's go ahead and get into this actual album. And I just want to like premise, you know, the overall like genre and vibe that we're getting from this album. Us as fans that have been, you know, like really picking apart their music for the last 7 years. The first half of their album is very hip hop heavy, which to us is giving classic BTS, like thinking Dark and Wild, Oh Are You Late To, even their debut album, but matured. You know, this is them now with that classic hip hop style that they love to pay homage to, that they personally all love this style, that they put in the work in their early years to learn about what it means to make hip hop music and the history of it and the background. But now they have their matured 30-year-old style and all of their experience that they've garnered over the last, you know, 12 years of making music together. Then that hip hop style flows into the second half of the album with a more rock and alternative part. All of this album, though, there's quite a few songs that lean towards an experimental sound that BTS as a group hasn't really done before. However, mm-hmm. we do hear a lot of influence from their solo work. It's like they took their individual journeys during their solo work. They dipped into different genres, like J-Hope and Yoongi really dipping into, wow, a little yeah. Freudian slip. Like J-Hope and Yoongi dipping into like some rock music in their solo albums, like thinking like More, mm-hmm. thinking about like Amygdala, RM getting super alternative with his Right Person, Wrong Place album, even Jimin like showing a totally different side of himself, getting into like his lower register and more like mm-hmm. alternative, different style with his Face album. I feel mm-hmm. like we hear those influences here, like they grew as individuals and then they figured out how to bring it back together. So if you feel like this album sounds super different than, you know, Map of the Soul 7 or Love Yourself Answer, they've evolved. It is different. You know, they've had different experiences that makes them want to make different music.
But like you were saying, like they have that foundational
hip hop,
yeah. You know, which is where they began. So we have them where their roots really are showing here, yeah. because of that hip hop origin. But then when you go to listen to the album, not only does the hip hop really stand out and that speaks to the sound of BTS, but then you hear all of these different members who have done all this solo work, and all of a sudden I'm being taken to Golden, or I'm being taken to Face, or I'm being taken to J-Hope's More. Like, it's just, you get it all.
Right.
And it's so, so cool and experimental and shows a lot of growth and development. Like, this is BTS 2.0.
Yeah. And that's what they told us, too. They said, this is us going back to our roots, and this is the exact music that we want to be making right now. I think that they yeah. have such a unique opportunity coming back as a group after, you know, 6 years since their last full studio album, to be able to evolve and to be able to, like, break out of the mold that the industry has put them in, since they got super, super popular with HOH and Love Yourself and, you know, Persona, and getting to that amazing high level. But now, because they got there and they reached that precipice, they have the freedom to be able to be a little bit more off the wall. So that yeah. is, you know, kind of like our analysis of how the direction they took this album. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a big reason why we're loving it so much. So with that being said, let's get into the first track, Body to Body. So this song was produced by the Picard brothers, Diplo, Ryan Tedder, and P-Dawg. And you really hear the Picard brothers in there. They took some ownership over some of the main beats there. We mm-hmm. see RM, Yoongi, and J-Hope all wrote on this song, as well as some of those producers. Tizo Touchdown wrote on this song as well. Really, this is pure hip hop and some electronic pop style in there. We could even argue there's a little bit of a dance genre in there, because you cannot help but to move when you hear this song.
Yes. It is so high energy. It is the ultimate concert song. This song was made for concerts. I feel like BTS went into this song knowing that they wanted and needed a hype song to kick off the tour and the album as they were coming back after 4 years apart. So first listen through, we both immediately vibed with the song. We were dancing and envisioning BTS body rolls during the choreo. Like, we were just fully immersed in this song first time listening through. And honestly, so happy to be hearing that classic hip hop in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
Loved it so much. I love the impactful drums and bass line of this song that really pull you deeper into it, paired with that repetitive high-pitched beep, 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 hottie. That's so addictive and catchy. And we know that we can thank the Picard brothers specifically for that beat, since they posted it on their Instagram.
Uh-huh. And then you hear that, like the drums that you were talking about that are so impactful. And then you hear them go into this more classic traditional Korean drum. And then you can hear the Arirang chorus start to play in the background. I mean, how epic is it? I mean, it brings such an appreciation of Korean culture. When we were listening on the hike, especially, that's when it really set in for us that the Arirang section is not only an appreciation for Korean culture, but it's so intentional in that it is meant for ARMY to sing to BTS at the concert. It was also during the studio notes later on when we watched it that Yoongi and Taeyong had talked about wanting to hear overseas ARMYs especially singing Arirang to them. And Yoongi even went on to like convince us like, oh, it's simple. It's easy to learn. You know, like basically like
no
just
excuses.
Go do it. Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait. I can't wait to be in Tampa to be able to sing this to them so they get to feel the impact of all of us singing to them in their native language. And so the original Arirang chorus truthfully just gets stuck in your head. Like Kayla, both you and I, not only do we love Body to Body, but then after listening to it, we'll just be like going about our day and Arirang is stuck in our head.
Yeah.
Like we're just singing that chorus over and over. And so, yeah, we're already working on learning it. Kayla, you sent the romanticization to the BTS ARMY Soundcheck group chat that we have for us going to the concert so that we can learn it before we go to Tampa.
Yeah. I just love that they included this. And they talked about also in the studio notes, they went back and forth on if they wanted to include it or not. Yoongi saying he initially wasn't for it because he didn't feel like it fit the song. But then Jimin and J-Hope were very for it. They talked about how vocal they were about it. We just think it's perfect for being the first song on this album named Arirang, to include mm-hmm. this chorus here in this first song. Like, what a way to introduce it. And now, because they've encouraged us to learn it and they want us to sing it with them, this traditional Korean folk song is going to be sang worldwide. Like,
yeah.
In stadiums of, you know, thousands and thousands of people at once. Like, that is such a level that I don't think that BTS ever thought that, you know, they would get to 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So I just think yeah. It's perfect here to introduce the rest of the album.
Think about those Korean Howard University students seeing this happen now, where like stadiums full of American ARMYs are singing Arirang.
I mean,
it's wild. It
almost
it's
makes
so
me
cool.
want to cry because it is
it
so
gives me chills.
Cool. It does. I have
yes.
full body chills just thinking about that.
Yes. Yeah. So during the comeback live performance on Netflix, they had a full traditional Korean instrumental orchestra and they had live female Korean singers dressed in traditional Korean hanbok. And truly, it does make me so emotional. The song makes me emotional when I hear it come on. But during the live performance, I was like almost about to start crying at Britney's place at 6:30 in the morning. Honestly, 6:05 in the morning. This is the first song. It is like definitely the kickoff song for the tour, I believe, too. But like, I've never cried at the beginning of a concert, but I feel that come end of April when we're seeing them in Tampa, I will be crying
yeah.
within the first song that they perform if they come out with this, because never in my life would I have thought that we would be singing this like very like unison, unifying song at the beginning of the concert to like kick it off.
Yeah.
It's usually at the end.
No, but I think it's a perfect song to start a concert, mm-hmm. especially with the lyrics that it has. I think it's such a concert song and it's such a mm-hmm. let's start and kick off the concert song. So I think it's a
yeah.
good time to start getting into the lyrics. At the beginning, we just love J-Hope saying like, I need, and then RM, what you need, twin? Like these two, this duo, I will never be over how they pair together. And I love it so much. That's how they kicked off the album.
They're very president and vice president.
Yes.
That's always how I see them.
Yes.
Yeah. In the very first verse, we hear RM say, I need the whole stadium to jump, which, yes, hype. And then he says, put your phone down. Let's get all the fun. I love saying put your phone down because, hello, we're at the concert. Like, it's like be in the moment. Be in the moment.
Hello.
Put the technology
yes.
away. Enjoy being person to person. We live through our phones. I just feel like this is a huge shout out to like, hey, guys, like, you've been looking at us through a phone for so long. Take the moment to really look at us with your eyes while I'm in front of you, not through a screen.
Hell yeah.
And then he says, I got my eyes on the row in the front. And like, this just makes me go crazy because we're row five. So I'm like, oh my God, like it's his eyes are on us practically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. 1000%. Then like Yoongi switches into it. He says BTA from everywhere to Korea. I just love the rhyme there. Guns, knives, keyboards, put all that away. Like, life is short. Ditch the hate. It's big in real life. Why get hung on saving face? There's so much going on here. First of all, he's literally saying like, okay, we don't have to hate here. Can we just like chill? Can we just have a good time? Do we have to like pick everything apart and be negative about things like, you know, the keyboard warriors and like actual physical weapons of violence, you know? But I also love, this is like little sexual innuendo wordplay. It's big in real life. Why get hung on saving face? Like, it's big and getting hung, you know? But also like, don't get hung on like, that's what I, you know? Like, he's like,
yeah, no, I see it.
Because it also that line like breathes for a second. Yeah, it's big in real life. And then he goes on. But also don't get hung up on like acting cool or, you know, whatever. Let's just like get together and have a good time. Yeah. So I love the dual meaning there.
Yeah, me too. So Jimin at this first pre-chorus, he says, I need somebody to body. I love your body beside me. I can't not sing it. Sorry.
So good.
But the lyrics here, I feel like, yes, this song can be taken sexually. But this to me is just the desire for them to see armies like body to body, like looking in the crowd and seeing us all together dancing, having a good time. Also, their desire to want to be with ARMY, like all of your body beside me, and just really being in that moment of like ARMY BTS. Finally back together.
Yes, totally. And I just have to say before I say this next line, I totally agree with you that this is not supposed to be like a sexual song overtly, you know, like it's really about being
subtle
body to body in the concert. But J-Hope starts his verse, it's so tight. And then he clarifies, I mean, the things between us. I mean, our own different style. I mean, we live in the life.
He's freaky.
He's freaky. I was like, what? So tight, J-Hope? What are you talking about? I was just dying over that line. And I just love his delivery. He's like, oh, let me walk that back. I mean, it's the things between us. So, you know, he's giving
a
little.
It doesn't help that the instrumental drops, too.
Exactly.
Like, it's just him saying, to, like, it's so tight.
Give the emphasis there. Of, like, you should think about that line. But yeah, I mean, for him to go on and it gives like that BTS together with ARMY, ARMY all together, the things between us, our own different style. And like, truly, when we are at that concert with them, we will be living the life. Like, that is what we all dream of, is going to a BTS concert again. So later on in his verse, he says the spirit of our kin surging up. And I just love that because here they are performing body to body under, you know, this Arirang album. Arirang chorus is going to play later on in this song. And he's saying the spirit of our kin is surging up, like really carrying the weight of their culture and wanting to share it, and like the pride swelling as they are doing so. I just love that he's sharing that in his verse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I just would be remiss if we didn't mention in the chorus where Jungkook is saying, somebody like you. Oh my God. Jungkook is singing the fuck out of this chorus.
Hello, golden. This is when I was like, it's golden.
Yes.
Seeping through.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally, and honestly, like, I'll just say this in general, entire, like, first half of the album, we really noticed it. It was like, Jungkook was just literally, like, a spotlight on these entire, like, all of these first half, like, heavy hitting rap songs. I feel like Jungkook, his vocals were just gorgeous, shining light all over the place. Phenomenal. Like, cannot preach it enough. We were just like, oh my God, Jungkook the whole time.
Yeah. So this song, the outro, what's really cool is it's just like the intro that RM starts off with saying, I need the whole stadium to jump. But they split up these lines between the rap lines. So RM says, I need the whole stadium to jump. Suga then says, put your phone down. Let's get all the fun. And then J-Hope ends it with, you at the side, you at the back, at the front. Like, he's basically saying, like, everyone here, like, let's get all the fun.
Yeah.
Let's jump.
I love the three rap outro here.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a song made for a concert. Yeah. J-Hope said it's either going to be at the start or the end. I anticipate the start. Like, it's just too perfect to kick off the concert.
It's got
to
be.
But lyrically, lyrically, it just feels like their desire to connect with BTS ARMY again, touring, the excitement to perform again, have a good time. It's very digestible, easy, and fun to sing along with.
Yeah, love it so much. Well, let's go ahead and get into Hooligan. This is the song that we have like El Guincho, Fake Guido on. A lot of like Hispanic writers and producers, Mark Lowe. And then, of course, we have like RM, J-Hope, Suga, P-Dawg on here as well. This starts with strings that are almost sickly sweet that swell into this crescendo and come in and out to support these beautiful high register vocals from the vocal line.
Yes, it is so bizarre to hear in contrast with the rest of the production here. But the swelling of these strings really reminded me, like, first time listening through, I'm like, I feel like this could be in a Disney princess movie, like Sleeping Beauty, or like a vintage classic cinematic movie score. Like, it has this kind of like old timey, really beautiful, classy movie-esque component to it. And yes, the vocal line really is just so gorgeous with their vocals. Like, they are swooning us with their very pretty and smooth vocals. And we also have to mention that Jungkook wrote the chorus and the melody. Like, he has so many writing credits on this album.
Oh yeah, I missed that he's one of the writers. He's actually listed above the rap line, which means that he wrote more on here than they did. So yeah, insane melody that he made there. And those strings are contrasted by this insanely heavy beat full of 808s and super metallic sounds. Sounds like knives being sharpened. And then there's this like ha 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 that the rap line is doing that's insanely addictive and kind of taunting. The knives are making it aggressive. The rap line has like this classic 90s hip hop sound and flow, which is totally them to their core of like the music that they have always loved. And then there's like this slower intentional flow during the hello rap line hook. Okay, rap line hook to this song instead of a, you know, a vocal line chorus. It's the rap line that has the chorus of this song, which I just think is so fucking cool.
Yes, change it up.
Rare.
So unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just an absolute crazy beat. Like, whether you like the song or not, there is no way that you can deny that this beat is sick. It's a total banger. The bass has you bumping your chest and shaking your ass. The dichotomy of this song alone just makes you feel like you are being thrown around. Honestly, cannot get enough of this contrast of like these beautiful strings with the beautiful vocal line and then these harsh knives and this very metallic and then like real aggressive, like, ha 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 ha, like in your face from the rap line. Like, it's just, oh my God, it's a lot to take in. I think this song alone, I just like getting, first time listening through, like getting into Alien and the songs after that, I was like, can we pause? Like, what did I just listen to? And I already need to listen to it again.
We need a break already. Yes.
Fantastic. We just love the end of the song too, where all of the elements are overlapping as well. Like, the production of this song is so intricate. It is so dynamic. There's so much going on. Yeah, we love it. We're obsessed.
Yes.
So let's get into the lyrics. And J-Hope kicks it off with the refrain. He says, watch this beat going hooligan. We pop out, we acting a fool again. And this line, it's repeated throughout the entire song, but this makes me think a lot about just the title Hooligan and them saying we going hooligan and how BTS have always been rebels and they've always challenged the norms. So hooligans are just another way of them referencing themselves as ones who reject the norm and go against the current. And I group this song with songs like Spinebreaker, No, No More Dream, Bepsay, like them really calling out just like all of the BS in the world, and that they're like, we're not going to listen to it. And it feels like their rejection to conform to traditional radio play pop music of today. It sounds like this song was them really like sticking to their true selves, kind of going against the grain, doing their own sound. And it continues to be such a banger. Like, they don't have to go with the norm. They're innovative and they continue to make really fantastic music. And I think that this song was, it could have gone one way or the other, but they really executed it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. I think like the high level of production on this, along with like the actual rap line's delivery, makes it work so well. It makes it so addictive. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, like, they could have conformed to even their music style that they've had for like the last three or four albums that people are expecting from them. But Like, again, if that's not the music they want to make anymore, then, you know, why conform to it? Like, let's pop out, let's act a fool again. Then getting just into the chorus that we first hear from Jungkook, he says, "Why is this bassline slapping so rude? Drop it lower than Chopped and Screwed." And I just love that this chorus is so meta. Like, it's not a chorus about anything other than, oh my God, do you hear this fucking song? Do you hear how hard this song is going right now? And so it just really supports, like, the rap line message of the song and, like, the total, like, badass vibe of the rap verses of Hooligan.
It's the chorus is supporting these verses, which is so cool.
So cool. Definitely something they haven't done. J-Hope starts with the first verse. He says he's about to blow a fuse, out of control, headbanging, jumping up like a madman. Me everywhere, olsu, which is a popular Korean expression meaning like hooray or bravo. And we know this from BTS previously using it in the chorus for Idol. So I just love that he like brought it back, like a little reference to Idol and to like one of their biggest, most iconic songs ever. Going through to like, of course, we get the choruses and everything again, but going through to Yoongi's second verse, he says, "I go cuckoo crazy, loco, save me," referencing their Save Me song. And then like El Kuki, I don't spell it out to know what's good. And it's just insane. He definitely got this line. Like, this line was definitely written by like El Guincho or Fake Guido or something, because El Kuki is like the Latin American version of the boogeyman. So like, to me, it makes sense that those people were on this song and where he got this line, because I don't think Yoongi would have known about that like on his own. But either way, it makes for like a sick like wordplay, like cuckoo crazy, loco, El Kuki in the next line. Like, I, you know, I thought it was like delivered very, very well. And then I also just
hooligans,
like literally going crazy. I also just have to talk about like Jungkook and Jin and Jimin at the end of verse two when they say, "Take you out, what's the future, where's the now? This is international, make it unforgettable." What I most like about this is the line that says, "What's the future, where's the now?" Because normally, like, they're like, first of all, we're not looking at the past at all. We're saying, what's ahead of us? What's going on right now in this present moment, and what's ahead? I just love that. It's like, okay, we had the past. Like, we don't have to go back to that. And then Jimin's, like, perfect, beautiful delivery of, "This is international." I just am obsessed.
Yes.
And it just makes me think about how they're going on this massive international tour, and they are going to make it unforgettable. Like, that is their goal. That's their desire. That's, you know, what they're going to execute for sure. So beautiful little vocal line part here in the verse. Yeah. I just live for it.
I agree. Yeah. And then in the refrain, and then we've got the bridge from RM. The bridge from RM is a fantastic part of this album, or not this album, we got this song, because it drops a lot of the instrumental and it gets real simple and stripped down. And his flow here is like perfect. I mean, it's very like staccato-esque. And he says, "Yeah, we the mess, gotta get a better mop here. Oh, I'm sorry, gotta get a bigger mop here. This, that K, gotta get a better pop here. You're going to hear this one playing round the clock, clock, clock." I love this. Like, making a mess, they're hooligans, got to get a bigger mop for them. This, that, K, Kayla, we talked a lot about this. Like, RM has had a lot to say about, like, what is K-pop, and, you know, they're Korean, and he's acknowledging that he still sees that K in their music, and he's just saying, we got to get a better pop here. And I just, I feel like it's him really making a statement that, like, Korean pop is the better pop.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to hear this playing round the clock, 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 which is, again, not only is he speaking in reference to time, like, yes, like, you're going to be listening to it all the time, but I also feel like he's using some dual meaning here of, like, clocking it, like, that's the truth. Like,
yes,
better, we're making a bigger mess, we're the better pop. And you're going to be listening to this all the time. And that's the truth.
And if you want to compete, you need to get better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. K-pop supremacy. That's exactly what he's preaching here. I love it so much. This is absolutely one of my favorite songs in the album. It is so hard to say like any given day what your favorite song is. BTS were so right about that, that it changes depending on your mood. But this is such a consistent one for me. I love it so much.
Me too. It's top three consistently for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, let's get into Aliens. So this is one of the songs that Mike Will Made It is on as a writer and a producer. We have RM working on this album. We have, or I'm sorry, I keep saying album. Song. Jungkook is also credited, as is J-Hope and Suga and P-Dawg. Like, you see a lot of these same names. But the vibe and genre for Aliens, the very beginning, you know, it's, you can hear that it sounds like there's gunshots in the background, but it's not exactly a gunshot. It's like a dulled banging sound. It could be like hitting a wooden table, but definitely there and present to replicate the sound of a gunshot without actually being a gunshot. It's just simulating the sound. And then along with it, there's also a real nice bass, low bass track that's playing.
Anytime there's a gunshot, I'm like, this is Bangtan Sonyeondan. This is Bulletproof Boy Scouts. Like, this is part of their music that's been around since 2013. Like,
they said, we gotta keep it, but like, put a spin on it and make it new.
Yes, they always talk about it and around it. And yeah, I love it so much. There's also this high-pitched sample as part of the beater track that's looped in the song. It's almost like a horn sound or a siren sound, but not quite. But it's just super consistent. And I just fucking love this because I asked for this. I'm sure I said on one of our podcasts when we were like theorizing, what are we going to get?
Oh, yeah.
Like, give us some constant sample that's all the way through it. Like how Waylon 52 has, that just repeats from start to finish, because that's that shit, you know? That's the stuff that like BTS rarely does anymore, but when they do it, it's so good and addictive. And it's really like attention getting. It's like, hey, look here, listen to this. Like, don't turn away. This is an important message that I want you to hear. So I'm just obsessed with that. And then at the end, there, it sounds like they're doing spitting sounds like, oh, tuh, but they're really saying, one and two in Korean, but it makes, like, the way that they're delivering it makes it sound like they're spitting. And I just love that it's all seven of them doing this. And like, when they go into that, like, land on it, put a stamp on it part, you know, it's just like, it's another like diss on the, you know, on
it's
the hater.
Diss. Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. And then
it absolutely sounds like they're all in unison spitting. Yeah. But they're saying one, two in Korean.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking genius. They're like spitting on you with Korean, like with their Korean culture, with their language. They're like, yeah, exactly. Like, respect us. Another element of wordplay is when they're saying aliens, sometimes it sounds like A-list. Like, they're like, yeah, we're aliens, but yeah, we're A-list. And I think that this is super intentional on how they're bringing it across, especially where it is in context. But overall, we feel like this song comes very much off like a cipher. They didn't name it a cipher. They didn't have to, but it's a diss track with a lot of confidence and a lot of ego.
Yeah, I totally get the cipher elements. Like, it makes me think of a cipher 2, cipher 3. That's really much how it comes off. It is so rap heavy. The rap line is aggressive with their rapping, and the vocal line is being very sly and sexy with their delivery as well. It just... Honestly, my only critique for the album, oh my God, for the song. the only critique that I have for the song is that I wish that the ending with the do, and there's, you know, we land on it. Yeah. Stand on it. I wish it was in the throughout the whole song. But I mean, it leaves you wanting more. Like, you want to go back and listen to it again just so you can get to that ending part, because it is so good.
I love the impact killer of it at the end, personally. Like, I think it makes more of an impact just being at the end than if it were all the way through.
I agree. Especially being like this. I love it so much.
Yeah, I know. I love it, too.
I want more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the lyrics. Suga starts off with the first verse. He says, "This gonna be the jam of the year. Everything's so boring and lame. Time goes way too fast. TikTok to the stadium. Gather up." And I love these three lines at the beginning, because there is he's basically saying there needs to be a change in the music. Everything's boring and lame, or like the life that he's been living has been kind of mundane as well, and that he's ready for something different and creative with this new album and music scene. And then he mentioning just like, time goes way too fast, TikTok. Like, I think it's very clear that the word TikTok is kind of wordplay, because not only TikTok of a clock, but also like the social media app. And I feel about just like how fast reels and like just really short videos come across that people even like put on times two speed. Like you can speed through these videos. So it's like, he's just talking about like time really is going too fast and relating it to just like short TikTok videos yeah. as well. And so he's like, I'm ready to get to the stadium.
Right.
And start being with people and gathering.
Yeah, let's have some real yeah. like presence here.
Yeah. He yeah. then says, born different, seven aliens, green with jealousy, those civilians. I love the dual meaning here and the mention of green with jealousy, but also aliens are known for being alien. He says repeatedly in his... For green.
Yeah.
Did I say alien?
Yeah.
I've got too many thoughts. So then he says, why are you so worried? He says this like three times in his verse. And we really think that he's referring to the haters being worried or concerned about BTS being popular. And he's asking, what is it that has you so worried about us? And it's very clear that he's making them think about just like being threatened by them or loss of control of their place in the music industry. It makes me think a lot about like the Grammys and the Academy and mm-hmm. just having concerns with BTS being a part of it. And he's asking, why are you worried? Why are you still worried?
Yeah.
And it's because they're a threat.
Yeah, exactly. J-Hope follows this up with his pre-chorus saying, hello, this is your new honey. Clap and shake it to Jungmori rhythm. Oh my God, do I look too funny? So what? Just move for me. Yeah, move for me. And if anyone is like, this album isn't Korean enough, I just feel like this song is just like absolutely thick with Korean references in just this mm-hmm. song. Because him saying the Jungmori rhythm, this is a traditional Korean 12-beat rhythm used for storytelling, known for its slow strolling beat, which is like, to me, like the modern version of that would be J-Hope rapping. If it's a 12-beat rhythm used for storytelling and him saying like, well, you're just going to move for me, like it, you know, my insecurity about like, do you think I look funny because I'm, you know, like from Korea and will I be accepted? He's questioning his looks and his style as it's accepted in foreign countries around the world. But then he's like, you know what, whatever, you're moving for me anyways, like you're caught up by my beat, by my rhythm. And like, I just love that they're putting this like reference, this Korean traditional beat reference into these lyrics. Continuing on with that theme in the chorus, Jungkook says, from the kana to the ha, watch and learn from us. And the kana and the ha are the first and last letters of the Korean alphabet, referencing the Korean language and writing system and basically saying like, learn about Korea, learn about Korean from us. Like, we are bringing that to you. And
it's so true.
Yeah. Like this is like, we are the reason why it's on such a rise. Like, would there have been a K-pop Demon Hunters without BTS? Fuck no. You know, like, yeah. I just, you know, they really have like been paving the way in the Western world for so many years. And they're still within their lyrics bringing like these like Korean references. They go on to say, yeah, we aliens, if you want to hit my house, shoes off at the door. And, you know, we know that this is like a stereotype of Asian households to take your shoes off at the door. But he's saying, respect him. Respect us. If you're in my house, fucking take your shoes off. Like, you're not going to walk all over me. You're not going to drag your dirt in. Like, you know, and I think that that is such a line of like, you better give us respect here.
Respect.
Exactly. They go on to say, the nerve on you, shameless, show some respect. We aliens out of the east, the sun's rising. Holy shit. This fucking line. First of all, this shameless and aliens rhyme here is really where it sounds like they're saying A-list, because shameless and A-list really rhymes. And so it's like really a wordplay there. And then out of the east, the sun's rising. They're from East Asia. They are the beginning of everything. Like saying like the sun fucking rises with us, you know, like who are you? We're starting it all. I just feel like that's such a powerful line.
Yeah, I'm the obsessed. Sun going... Yes, the sun rising in the east and then, you know, goes over to the west. It just feels like they're bringing all of the Korean culture over, their music over. Yeah,
they're bringing the sun, over. The influence, the, you know, the power, the warmth, everything. Yeah.
Bringing the Korean to the west. Like, yeah, going back to what you were saying, this song is thick with Korean references. And yeah, the fact that anyone has ever said that this is not a Korean enough album from BTS is insane. I really think
I just feel like
when it's literally titled Arirang,
it's and they feel like, well, how could you title it Arirang and then have all of this hip hop? Hello, it's BTS. They make hip hop music. There's seven Korean men. You cannot say that this album isn't Korean enough. They made it. Like Korean people made it.
Only Koreans too to like go
make
hip hop
music. Yeah. No, definitely not. Just getting into RM's verse here. He says, everybody now know where the K is. How far are we taking this? Damn it. Like, yeah, because of them, everybody knows where Korea is. They talked about, like, I forget if it was in their studio notes or in a different interview, but they were like, yeah, no one asks us if we're from, like, North or South Korea anymore. Because they know now. And they know, like, not to ask us, like, an insane question like that.
They know not to ask. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, they used to get questions like that.
Yeah.
And then he says,
it's like the respect has become more prominent as they've had more and more success. Yeah,
exactly. He says, pardon me, Kim Gu, tell me how you feel. I'm the only one who can speak English, but that is how we kill. Kim Gu was an activist for Korean culture and a former head of state in South Korea, lived from 1876 to 1949. He is the leader of Korean independence movement from Japan. And so basically RM is asking, like, are you proud of everything that we've done carrying Korean culture here with us? And I just have so much to say about him saying, speaking English, that's how we kill it. Because, you know, Bethany and I were pretty vocal. Like, we weren't big fans of, like, Permission to Dance. We liked Butter. My personal opinion is, like, Dynamite is fine. You know, like, it's a good song. It's really catchy. And I'll sing along to those songs. I enjoyed hearing them at the Permission to Dance live on stage in L.A. You know, I support BTS, but, like, it just wasn't my favorite because I didn't feel like it felt like BTS's music. It, you know, really moved away from their rap and their style. But here in this album, they're speaking a lot of English. But why it works for me is because it feels like their music. It feels like they really had an integral part in making it and how it sounds. And, you know, the verses and the lyrics that are in it, these are not just songs that were all written and given to them, but they actually worked on them and made them. You know, I'm a big Bad Bunny fan, and he made history last year for having the number one album in the world being a Spanish-speaking album. And that's never happened in the United States for a fully Spanish album to be number one album and number one song. And the reason why he was able to do that is because of artists that came before him, like Marc Anthony, Enrique Iglesias, Shakira, Luis Fonsi, who had to make their music in both Spanish and English to be able to break through to the norm. And now because of that, people like Bad Bunny can be successful just in his native language without having to change. And so BTS is saying, like, that's how we kill, is by playing your game, by switching into English, because we know that that's how we can have this influence and make this impact. And maybe, you know, 10, 15 years from now, there could be another massive K-pop group that never has to sing a word of English and can be even more popular than BTS are today. But this is the weight that they carry as being someone from this era of progressing Korean music into the Western sphere. So I feel like that is, I just can't overlook that lyric at all.
No, you can't. And it truly, the English truly is how they kill and how they kind of play the game to make their music seep into radio play and be more popular in the States. But yeah, here on this album, they didn't feel like they had to fully commit to the full English. They've already done it. They know how they've created such success at this point in the States that they don't have to do that. And I was talking to you, Kayla, too, like, because of their English discography and because of just, like, their success in the States by having more English in their songs, like, now they have, not only are they their albums are being sold at Target and Walmart, but it's also allowed for a lot of other K-pop artists to put out Korean music and be on those shelves too. And just like the most major, like, stores here in the States that everyone goes to for everything. So yeah, absolutely. Did you talk about Kim Gu?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll keep going on here. So the very ending of the song, let's break down the stamp on it, the do, yeah, we land on it, do, yeah, we stand on it, do, stamp it, put the stamp on it, stamp on it, stamp on it. And yeah, this is like a major flex. Like, yeah, we fly to like overseas, to international countries. We land on it. We stand on it, put a stamp on it, like putting it on their passport. And it's just an absolute flex for who they are.
To me, like, we stand on it is like we're on your turf and we're owning this shit, you know? Like, that's how that feels to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They are the A-list aliens.
There we fucking go. I love this song so much. I love the meaning behind it. Well, let's go ahead and get into...
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Let's get into Faya.
Yeah. So Faya was produced by Diplo, Flume, JPEG Mafia is on this. We have RM and Jungkook writing on it along with Suga. So for the vibe and genre, this is like ultimate house music, like immediately dancing, immediately fist pumping first time listening through. We were vibing and dancing so hard next to each other on the couch at 11:30 at night. Like, this was a banger from the very start when you first put it on.
Absolutely. I mean, going into like this hook chorus of everything lit, it's fire, everything big, it's fire. She wanna dance on fire, everything gas, it's fire. It's just so catchy. We were immediately fist pumping, just like vibing so hard. Mm-hmm. Him saying, or like they, RM said in the studio notes that they got this song title, Faya, from JPEG Mafia, who, as they were working on the song, just kept saying, that's fire to everything. And BTS had never heard that slang term before, and they loved it so much that they decided to like incorporate it into the song and made it get the title of the song. So I just think, like, what a cool sharing of culture there, and it makes for a great and super catchy hook. Jungkook actually has the first verse here. I just love how BTS are using all of their members in such different ways. Chorus, pre-chorus, verses, totally different than how, like, the traditional structure of, like, vocal line, pre-chorus and refrain, always a rap verse, you know, like, back and forth. Like, they're really switching it up here. Jungkook, just the line that gets me is he says, give me that make me fiend. Like, oh, you know, can you imagine making Jungkook fiend? And then he says, like, give me that make me sweat, something I can't forget. But the way that he says can't is like so breathy and like sexy. It just like sticks in your mind. Like, oh my God, Jungkook, what are you doing to me?
Yeah, the sweat really stands out. His delivery on that line. Yeah. I'm obsessed with the pre-chorus. I think a lot of people are obsessed with the pre-chorus. These lyrics saying, club go psycho, might take you viral. I go full Thriller tonight. Club go crazy like Britney, baby, hit me with it one more time. Like, all of the pop culture references are phenomenal here. I think of, like, the Psycho movie. I think of Thriller with Michael Jackson. And obviously Britney Spears, hit me, baby, one more time. Like, it is so phenomenal hearing this. It is total early 2000s. Like, this is what Yoongi was saying a little bit too, with like the ending of the track of this song has this like reverse tracking and then it fades out. And we just recently saw a TikTok video of an ARMY who put that fading out, that reverse track that then fades into Spinebreaker, which is like the exact same sounding track. So there's theories that potentially they'll perform Spinebreaker like right after Faya. That would
like,
be
how fucking,
fucking
cool.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn. I love this song. It's such a vibe to just dance to.
Yeah. Lyrically, not much more to say, but it is such a vibe. I love it. It's one of my favorite. It's like top five for me.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into 2.0. So for the producers on this, we have Wilk Made It. We have P-Dawg. Of course, the entire rap line is on this. V and Jungkook as well worked on 2.0. So this song is just nasty. Like, it makes you want to snarl your face. The trap style mixed with, like, classic hip-hop, especially, like, this, like, trap flow in RM's verse. Again, killer beat, killer bass line. You can't not bump your chest, dance, you know, all the body rolling. We got to see in the choreography, there is body rolling in 2.0, so like, can't wait for that. The pointing in the choreo is also so impactful.
Obsessed.
sexy, cool. Oh, it seems like people are like, they're like putting people in their place. The members all fall to the ground and like turn around one after another during arms verse. Like the choreography for 2.0 really stood out during their Netflix comeback performance. There's also this electric sound in the beat of the sounds when they're like just kind of like in the background, but it sounds almost like Transformers. Like it's very like electronic sounding.
When they're transforming in the movies.
And Brittany, my sister who's a music therapist, brought up how the album in general is very metallic sounding, and it just makes a lot of sense, especially with 2.0, with this being like the upgraded, rebirthed and fresh BTS. Like, it is just like we just got an upgrade of BTS here. And so the electronic sounds really highlight that. And yeah, the vocal line in here, like very confident vocals for the chorus. It's just a great song.
Yeah, honestly, like the song makes you feel like such a bad bitch. Like, you want to shake ass. You are super confident. You own everything when you listen to this song. And I feel like, I mean, BTS have said this too. This song is like them declaring who they are in this new era. BTS 2.0. This is who we are. Like, yes, I fucking love it.
So in Suga and J-Hope's first verse, they say, like bulletproof, that's easier said than done. We're a vault, always someone vaulting over us. Kind of funny, but really it ain't at all. 10 years doesn't even scratch the surface. And this just really goes to show that they keep setting the bar higher and higher with each comeback. It's like vaulting over the bar that BTS just keeps setting higher. I love the visual of that. The mention of how long they've been doing this doesn't even scratch the surface of their experience as BTS and their history. And that being bulletproof all the time with every passing year, for having such high expectations that keep getting higher, and like this length of time, this duration of time to have to continue to keep jumping over that vault. Like, nonetheless, like, yeah, they're just talking about how much pressure there is to continue on and keep outdoing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I love how Yuki gets us into it. And then it's answered with RM here in this pre-chorus. Perfect amount of repetition to like really, like, this is where you want to get your snarl in. Your face gets nasty with his like, yeah, pull up at your block. We go knock, 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 knock. Yeah, had your little fun, fella. And then he says, pop, 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 pop.
Pop, pop, pop.
Came back for what's mine. We don't stop, ride. For me, like, first of all, I love, it's like he's showing up to the doorstep of anyone who thinks that they're competing with them or that they've taken the crown in their absence. Pulled up at your block, knocked on your door. Oh, you had fun? You had fun while we were gone? Hope you had a good time. Hope you were successful in our absence because, like, unfortunately for you, we're back. And then, like, the pop, 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 pop. This, again, this is Bangtan. This is Bangtan Sonyeondan. This is, like, you know, this is Jimin with the gun at the beginning of Dynamite going bang. Like, this is, I came back for what's mine. I came back for my crown, for my title, for my place at the top of this industry. I am obsessed.
I love it. I'm obsessed with that line.
Love it so much.
Yeah.
And then it goes right into the chorus with, the first chorus is like Jimin and Taeyang, but all of the vocalists get a line in these chorus. They just switch it up throughout the song saying, you know how I do, 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 do. And then light the fire brand new, light it brand new. Yeah, we on that brand new, you know how we do. I, again, perfect amount of repetition that just, ooh, it's so catchy. And then I just love it. The light the fire, because it makes me think about their first song Fire from HYYH. It makes me think about J-Hope in Arson saying, I've burnt myself out completely. All I have left is like the smoldering charcoal of my heart, but now they are ready. Light the fire, light it, we're brand new. And it really goes along with that metallic sound that you were talking about. Like, it gives, it's giving, we're in the future now. I just fresh. Am obsessed. And yeah, super fresh too. Love it.
How I do. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. So J-Hope in his verse, he says, specked out, stepped in, we ain't missing step two after the 2.0 update. And I had to kind of like look into what specked out means, but like, it's really just like a blueprint and planned out. And he's talking about how much they planned out their update to their sound for this album, and then stepping back and just like stepping back out for part two. He goes on to say, like, throw away the unusable junk, going to collect, take the time to get back to the grind, stop, ride. And I feel like, yeah, he's talking about the process to make this album, where he's saying throw away that unusable junk, saying that they sifted through 120 songs to basically make this collection of 14 total for the album, and how they also talked about the time to collect themselves. Like, they all came back from military service and they really took time to make this album and make the best version of themselves before fully stepping back out. And I love the stop, ride. Like, the stop is them making this album and then riding as, like, this new future selves and, like, riding forward as this 2.0 update.
Yes, and I also love the ride line here because it makes me think about their song Run BTS and all of the different references in those lyrics that they had to, like, driving the car super fast, stepping on the gas pedal, and just like going, pushing. And it's like they had that time to stop. And now once again, as a group, they're riding forward. They're going. Yeah. I love RM in the third verse. This is like what really gets like the trap sound, where the trap flow really comes through, where he says, rah, 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 hit him up like pop. Hit him with the truth like raw, and just his delivery there is that classic like triplet sounding trap. And then he says, time to pay your debt, fear me or fear me not, let it be, let it bleed, hit a lick in a split. So the rah, 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 to me, he's hyping up. He's like, listen, you know, hit him with the truth. Mm-hmm. And he's telling them, here's the truth. We're on top. You know, the fear me or fear me not, like, BTS are taking over, whether you're ready or not, whether you're going to take them seriously or not about it. And then saying, let it bleed, like, let the industry bleed them, because hitting a lick is a slang term for like making a bunch of money, making a ton of money. So he's like, let's make a bunch of money. Let's bleed this industry for everything that it's got, and in our own way. Fuck. Mm-hmm. I love that so much. This song 2.0, I feel like it's truly them being like, here's who we are now. Like, here's who we want to be. Here's what we've been like holding back. Here's what we've developed into as individual artists and coming back together as a group. Like, both J-Hope and RM, like, within the actual Arirang albums, like, in the notes that they gave us in there, like, reference, like, 2.0, like, this is BTS 2.0. I feel like this song means a lot to them and says a lot about, like, who they are now, who they want to be now. Mm-hmm. So I love this song so much.
I do, too. I keep saying, oh, yeah, top five. I'm like, every song is top five for me.
I remember texting you, like, can I pick one favorite and then every other song ties for second? Like,
yeah,
because, and it's truly, and even, I don't want to say my favorite right now, but even the song that I picked is my favorite. Now I'm like, oh, maybe this other song is my favorite. And it's just, it'll change day to day, honestly.
I love 2.0, but the performance, really, I'm like, ooh, it's so good.
It's so fucking good. Yeah,
the choreo, damn.
I can't wait to see it live. Taeyong,
killing me.
Oh, absolutely.
He's back to his old tricks and shenanigans.
How dare he? So let's talk about number 29. So this song was like quite the shock for us. Like Bethany said, we really needed it when it came in the album, our first listen through. Number 29 is in reference to the 29th National Treasure of Korea, which is called the Bell of King Songduk, or also the Emily Bell. And this is a massive, over 12 feet tall and almost 7.5 foot wide bronze bell that was cast in the year 771 AD. Holy shit, that's so old. Like, I just think it's so cool that this bell is like has so much history behind it. And RM said that this track was 1:37 long because that's the amount of time that it takes the bell to fully ring out, and the size of the bell keeps a really low resonance that tends to evolve because of its shape and its material throughout the ringing. So like, you might kind of feel like it's gone like 20 seconds in, and you keep listening and it starts to come back, and it sounds like a really low hum. It's rarely rung for its preservation because of its age, and it was recently rang, and RM was asked to ring it, but he couldn't because of scheduling conflicts. But when it was rang for this recording, that was the first time in 22 years that it had been rung. And wow. So it's just really cool. I think I saw like Korean Americans online talking about how now anyone at any time can go and for all of history listen to the sound of this bell because they ring it so rarely. And now it's immortalized here on this Arirang album.
How cool.
Yeah.
It's not Korean enough.
Right.
It's amazing. It's so unique. So our interpretation of this inclusion is that one of the inscriptions on the bell is, quote, its sound pierced the heavens above and reached the depths of the sea below. And it made us think about how Swim comes in right after this. This number 29 really feels like an interlude that transitions us to the sea. It's the bell that historically signaled the time to return home or find peace. Is very Arirang theme of just like returning home. It feels like a cleansing on the album, especially after hearing all of these very hype, energetic hip-hop based songs. This cleanses the palate and prep for the remainder of the second half of the album. When we first listened, we felt like we could take a moment to breathe, kind of digest what we heard, and the bell ringing definitely acts as this like interlude or even like an intermission in the middle of the album, and it creates a very obvious divide in the two separate parts of this album.
Yeah, I think they structurally, the way that they decided to place this here works really well to be able to give that break, give you some time to digest all of like the heavy hitting songs in the first half. And then it does make a really beautiful transition into Swim. And I love the idea of talking about how it reaches the depths of the sea below and then going into Swim next. So yeah, I love this inclusion here. I think it's like such a cool way to do an interlude and again, bringing like that Korean culture through in this Arirang album.
Yeah. Should we end with Swim here?
I think we should do it. I know the episode's running a little long, but I feel like we got to talk about Swim now.
Let's do it. This is going to be the last song we talk about before part two, guys. So Swim, the producers are Tyler Spry, LeClaire, a lot of the writers. We've got Sean Forman, you know, 303, shout out. Ryan Tedder's on this, RM, yeah, P-Dog, you name it. A lot of the same producers here. So for the vibe and genre of Swim, this song is incredibly poignant. It has a very, very powerful build to it. The lo-fi like synths build with the song. There's a very warm electric guitar that we heard Jin and Suga talk about. It's not your typical strong electric guitar that you would hear. It's very warm. It is truly beautiful. It is such a lovely song. It's powerful in a beautiful way without being like crazy in your face energetic. Like powerful in that it's moving, it's encouraging, it's hopeful, it's very lovely and sensual. It is really a masterpiece of a song. I love it so much. I think it really works as the hit track of the album. I see why BTS chose it as the hit track of this album.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that it's so different than every other hit track that they've ever had. Historically, their hit tracks are songs that they can start the concert with. Super hype, BTS coming out to Idol, lights, colors flashing, crazy high energy. And I love that this song gave them the space to be able to give that like hopeful, encouraging, sensual, but beautiful vibe within this hit track. I think it really is deserving of it. I love that the rappers' verses in this song, that they're singing in their verses. RM singing here is reminding me of his work on Indigo, where he was really like, I'm going to try singing. I'm really insecure in my singing, but like, I feel like this song needs it and I want to do it. And then we got so much singing from Yoongi on D2, like in Amygdala, in Snooze, things that like just really moved us on a fundamental level. And he sings the entire verse two here. Only J-Hope's verse is the true rap style. And honestly, we died over his verse in the first few listens.
God. Like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. We're just like,
especially since we were watching the music video with it. So like, yeah, we were dying.
We were, we were a wreck. But there is great backup vocals throughout from the vocalists where they are harmonizing with the members. This is one that also just the live performance from the comeback stage was so beautiful because you can really hear those backup vocals. But yeah, we just love that this song has this calmer vibe. We're floating along. Jimin said that he was a little bit apprehensive with this being the hit track because of that calmer vibe, but obviously it worked out really well. It's something fresh.
They didn't need it. Yeah. This song is beautiful. I also just have to highlight that Jin ends the song, and Jin's vocals are perfection in Swim. Yes,
they are. They are
all of the vocal
beautiful line,
but like the way that Jin ends it, I'm like, just send me to heaven now.
Honestly, you're
from
so
the
right.
Sea.
Every time I hear Jin in this song, it's like, ooh, that's that warm, rich, like he's like dialing back the powerhouse to fit the vibe of the song, but it is still so beautiful.
It suits him.
Yeah, it really does suit him. This song suits him very well. I want to talk a little bit about RM's verse at the beginning, just lyrics that personally stood out to me, where he said, "Name a place I could breathe on this map world." To me, this really harkens back to a lot of his solo work, that like personal struggles that he talked about in Indigo or Right Person, Wrong Place, because of like struggling to be happy with where you are at and like enjoy this present and not be like stressed or like bogged down by the things that are, you know, really bothering you in life. And he goes on a couple lines later to say, "I'm in the deep. Tell me where the hell you at, girl? Like, I'm in the deep, like I'm in the thick of it. You know, I'm in this deep ocean. I'm sinking. I'm, you know, and like, where are you? I need help." And you could interpret this like romantically, or you could just be like, "Where are you at, army? You know, where are you at? Like this thing that I really need." I don't know. Those two lines just really stood out to me as like very classic RM, but also lines that I personally connect with.
Yeah.
In the pre-chorus, Jungkook says, like, this is the second part of the pre-chorus. He says, "Right here with the moon and the sharks, I ain't got to think about a thing, baby, I just," and then it goes into the chorus, "swim, swim." This to me is some standout lines where when before this song came out, RM said, like, "This song goes beyond just romantic love. This song is about like self-love and preservation and continuing to like basically keep swimming," is the term that they keep using, like keep pushing through it. This with the moon and the sharks, with this beautiful and this dangerous element at the same time, you know what? I don't have to think about it. I'm just going to swim. I'm just going to keep going through. Like, I don't have to like let all of that affect me and get to me. I can just move on. And I love that message.
It's very encouraging. The right here with the moon and the sharks makes me think about like the good and the bad, right?
Yeah.
In the second verse, Suga says, "Water, water so deep, water so deep. Take it off the ground. I ain't never getting cold feet." And so, and then he goes on to say too, "Why you run away, you can run in." And I think it's so encouraging here. Like they talked about a lot about how this album, or not this album, my God, this song. This song is a lot of like a love for life. And he mentioning like getting so deep in this water, like you can think about getting deep in a relationship, but that he's not going to get cold feet, that he's going to stick with it, take it off the ground. And then why you run away, you can run in is very much of like, if you're coming across any kind of challenge in life, it could be so scary or intimidating that you might want to run away from it, but you can definitely just immerse yourself in and run for it. And I just love that. I think it's super encouraging.
Yeah. Right before that line too, he says, "Sitting on the shore, now I'm ready for the whole sea." And for me, I really get like that relationship vibe too, like never getting cold feet. Like sitting on the shore is like, you know, you're in this relationship, now I'm ready for the whole sea. I'm committing. I'm into it totally, you know. I can feel the high waves coming. Especially going on to that next line, "Why you run away," is like, you know, the problems in life. You can feel how those things come up. But like you were saying, like you can navigate them. You can get through it. You just have to swim, you know. J-Hope's verse, the rap verse here, what he says in the second half, "Under here, we don't chase the time. Baby, everything can't be so sad. Turn my face from the land. I just want to dive. I just want to dive." And for me, I feel like the "we don't chase the time" is like, what's the pressure? You don't have to, there's no deadline here to solve your problems or to solve this issue or to conquer this X, Y, and Z. And everything can't be so sad, meaning like you shift your perspective a little bit. Like it doesn't have to all be gloom and doom. Let's try to focus on what we can. Turn my face from the land. Let's try to focus on what we can flow with it, how we can flow with it and be flexible and adjust with it. I just want to dive in deeper to it. I feel like that's a really encouraging message and super uplifting and hopeful.
It's very much about facing challenges in life, taking chances, taking the risk. Yeah.
And continuing on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely, we'll talk about the swim music video and probably more about swim in general in its own episode, but we just mm-hmm. really needed to cover it here in the album review as well. So this is our first half of our album review. We will, as soon as possible, get to you guys with a album review part two covering the rest of the songs on mm-hmm. Arirang that we are so excited about and also love so much. We appreciate you all listening along with us. Let us know your thoughts on these songs here in the first half of Arirang. Because
what's your favorite song?
Yeah. Do you have one? Can you choose one? Clearly we have many thoughts. We'd love to hear yours as well. As always, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.